Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Rockies Insider talking about, well, you know, the Rockies, the Blue Jays, so many notes. Bill Schmidt, the GM, spoke on Friday and had some interesting comments about this year's trade deadline. Spoke with media and, you know, said that the five prospects that the Rockies ended up acquiring from the Yankees, from Atlanta, in the three trades for Ryan McMahon, Jake Bird, and Tyler Kinley, that unfortunately, because AA is where the highest of them are currently at, we've already seen some of them debut, but they're probably not going to make an impact on this year's roster. Schmidt said, quote, "I wouldn't say this year per se, but I would think in the next 2 years, you'll see a chance to see some of those guys there." And so I think there's a chance maybe 2 to 3 of those players will maybe make their debut with the Rockies, maybe contribute a little bit more than just having a debut. It was unfortunate that to start the presser, Bill Schmidt unfortunately did forget the names of the two players acquired in the Ryan McMahon trade. It was a week ago, but I think you need to know those names. I think that's important. He referred to Josh Gross as Gomes and referred to Griffin Herring as Gunner. Schmidt did recall the names of the other three prospects. So I thought that was a bit odd that mistake was made. You know, he was asked about who initiates the trade discussions. Schmidt was honest, saying, you know, honestly, it's the contending team. They're the ones looking to get better. They're the team that is looking to do business. I think while that is very true, because of the size of the Rockies front office being a little bit smaller than others, and because of how they've approached the trade deadline in the past, I think they've not been as proactive as they should have been. I think the Rockies are a team that needs to make phone calls to other teams and say, "Hey, I'm interested in this prospect. What veteran did you like from our roster that we could get?" But with a smaller staff, with a smaller scouting staff, that might not be able to look around the league and say, "Hey, let's cherry pick this guy from that roster. And over here in the Northwest League, I think we've got ourselves a gem. Let's see if we can nab that guy." That's a little bit harder to do for them with the amount of investment that owner Dick Monfort makes in the scouting department and in the front office and in the coaching staff, the big league coaching staff and minor league coaching staff, frankly. So as I said, Halverson and Vodnik were two players that, while I love watching them pitch and I think they're great big leaguers, maybe what's best for the franchise is to step away from them to try to build more depth in the system and try to build towards the future. And, you know, to that kind of thinking, Bill Schmidt said that the asking price that the Rockies had for both Vodnik and Halverson were very high. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that these are players that the Rockies will have for a few more years. Right now, they're not, you know, they're making the league minimum, so that's not a ton. And, you know, if Halverson continues to save games or Vodnik ends up doing that a lot more, that will make them more expensive in arbitration, but they won't really get that more expensive because middle relievers, you know, if you're not saving a ton of games, your value, your contract in arbitration is not going to get that high. So I don't really know how much the Rockies are saving and how much they are helping themselves in the future. You know, there are scenarios in which in 4 years from now, you're looking at Vodnik and Halverson closing out deep games late for the Rockies when they're in the hunt for the postseason. And then in that scenario, in that reality, you go, that was wise to not totally just jettison every player of value at the 2025 deadline. Yes. Frankly, I think the odds are a lot higher that neither of those guys are impacting the Rockies in that way when the Rockies are contending in 4 or 5 years from now. That's just not, that's a lot of what ifs, right? They're healthy. They're still contributing at an incredibly high level. And the Rockies are, you know, they need those outs late in games. That's a lot of what ifs, a lot more than saying, you know what? What if we just tried to bring in as many great minor league players as possible? And they'll sort of sort themselves out just a little bit. They are trying to do that to some degree, but you need more guys because not every great prospect ends up panning out. So the more you have, the better your system is overall, the higher the likelihood that it will work out for you. Rockies did not see it that way. Schmidt was also asked about Chris Bryant, and he said, I have no news for you. Just point blank, no news for you on that front. Found it oddly coincidental that this weekend, or that question at least, came the same weekend that Alexander Canario, which was one half of the package that San Francisco gave up to acquire Chris Bryant, was also here with the Pittsburgh Pirates. So very coincidental, to say the least. Friday's transactions, you had Carson Palmquist up to take one of two spots vacated by Tyler Kinley and Jake Bird. Dugan Darnell had his contract selected for the very first time. Dugan Darnell, if you don't know the story, you need to listen up. If you don't know the story, you haven't been paying attention to Blake Street Banner, because those guys have been banging the drum about Dugan Darnell. In fact, there was somebody in the Rockies front office. Almost every time I see him, you know, he brings up the fact that, like, oh man, those Blake Street Banner guys, they love Dugan Darnell. And yeah, they sent out a little missive saying Dugan Darnell deserves an opportunity only a couple days ago, right around the trade deadline. And sure enough, their wish was granted, I guess you could say. So tip of the cap to the Blake Street Banner. Those guys do incredible work covering the minor leagues. They know their stuff. They work hard. Tip of the cap to Blake Street Banner. Make sure you're following them and following their YouTube channel as well. But Dugan Darnell, you can probably see tons of conversations with Blake Street Banner. But if you don't know the story, it's a great one. And if you don't know what happened on Friday, that was a great story as well, because he gets the win in his major league debut at 28 years old. Incredible. First rookie to get a win in his debut since, well, Chase Dolander earlier this year, but the first reliever to do that since Scott Obert back in April of 2015. Wow. So Dugan Darnell went to a small school in Michigan. That's where he's from. School's called Adrian College, Division III school. We know D3 players, great grinders, don't always get opportunities, don't always pan out. And I don't even want to say pan out, because if you're playing D3 ball, you know, sometimes there's a reason. Your talent level might not be there. That's why you're not playing D1 or at a really competitive and really quality junior college. And yet Dugan Darnell had that belief in himself that, you know what, it might take a little bit of time, but I'm worth that. I'm worth putting in that effort. And so despite not getting drafted, he had that belief in himself. And in 2019 and in 2020, he plays independent baseball for the Eastside Diamond Hoppers of Utica, Michigan. So an independent league, the United Shore League, not a ton of big leaguers come out of a league like that. It's one of the smaller indie leagues. But in 2020, in 22 games and about 28 or so innings, had a 0.31 ERA, was undeniable. That opened the door. Colorado Rockies give him an opportunity, sign him in February of 2021 to a minor league deal, and slowly starts chipping away year after year to get himself to the bigs. Over 5 seasons in the minors with Colorado, dude amassed a 21-8 record, 3.74 ERA with 24 saves and 332 strikeouts. So 11.7 strikeout per nine rate, pretty darn good in 200 games. Was named a Rockies minor league organizational all-star in 2021. And then this year at AAA, one step away from the majors at a time in which the Rockies need big leaguers. They need guys that they can rely upon. And when you're a 28-year-old veteran in AAA, you know what? You've got a certain intangible that some younger players just don't have. So this year, 3.19 ERA in 35 games, 63 strikeouts, a very low whip. That was ninth best in the Pacific Coast League, minimum 30 innings. So he's just been really good this year. And it's just great to see a guy like him get an opportunity when you're a non-drafted free agent like that, trying to make it work, getting paid $50 a week to play independent baseball. Yeah, you're a professional because you're getting paid. But how much? You can't survive on things like that. And the Rockies have had other players like that in their system to try to get it done. And it doesn't always have a happy ending. But for Dugan Darnell, it does. And I'm sure he wants that happy ending to be even happier and for there to be even more happy endings in his future because he's going to have a long career. At least that's what he hopes. So that is absolutely fantastic to see something like that. I'll get back to the topic at hand. But Jonathan Morris in the chat said, who should the Rockies sign this offseason? Great question. I haven't looked at free agents yet right now because this would be that time of year where maybe you look and say, the Rockies need to retool on a couple things. And there's a couple voids that need to be filled. And there are some players out there. There are some free agents that they could target to sign to fill those voids and get them back into a postseason kind of hunt. But unfortunately, the Rockies have too many holes on this roster. There's too many voids that there really isn't anyone that I could recommend for them to sign right now at this point. You know, Tyro Estrada was a guy they brought in with 1 year and an option. Kyle Farmer, a utility guy, and then a backup catcher in Jacob Stallings. I think it's just going to be a lot more of those deals. But there is some potential that the Rockies could make a splash. Now, it might sound crazy, but hear me out. And actually, you don't need to hear me out because I'm not really pitching this as here's what I think the Rockies should do. But what they could do is, crazy enough, they might kick the tires on a guy like Bo Bichette. Now, hear me out. Blue Jays in town, obviously, right now. But purely being speculative, it would not shock me entirely for the Rockies to go back to the drawing board, or rather go back to what they did a couple years ago when they signed Chris Bryant, and it didn't really make a ton of sense. From the Rockies' standpoint right now, why would Bo Bichette be a good option for them to sign? Well, first off, I think they're going to have money to spend this offseason. Not a ton. They've been cutting payroll the last few years. Their attendance is still pretty solid overall, right? But, you know, they cut a lot of money with Ryan McMahon. And, you know, Bo Bichette's not going to replace Ryan McMahon's $16 million a year contract. Even with $10 million coming off the books with Hermen Marquez this offseason. And even if you find, an option to get rid of Jose Senzatella, no one's going to take his contract off your hands. So you would still have to pay him, period. But they don't have a lot of money invested right now in the future of this roster. So I think they could be able to splurge. Now, here's why it doesn't make sense. And this is the biggest part of this conversation about possibly bringing in someone like a Bo Bichette. First off, Rockies aren't anywhere close to contending. They're not. But sometimes teams will make a move like this when they are about a year away on the cusp from contending. Unfortunately, I don't think the Rockies are a year away from contending, so it still doesn't make sense. It's another long-term deal that has Chris Bryant potential written all over it. Entering the season, Bo Bichette was the best shortstop free agent that was going to be available this offseason. I think he still will be. Big drop-off after him. And granted, he's not even going to be playing shortstop for the Rockies, which is a very Rockies move. Signing a third baseman like Chris Bryant, but he doesn't play third base. You sign Ian Desmond, who's a solid shortstop and center fielder, and he ends up playing first base. So it doesn't really work out. And besides Kyle Tucker, this offseason, he's going to be the best hitter under 30 years old. Bichette, only 28. So not a ton of younger players hitting free agency. So that's going to really allow his market to be a long-term kind of market. So, yeah, I don't know that that's going to come to fruition. It probably won't. But if they're really looking to try to kickstart something, because who is going to be the face of this franchise now? Ryan McMahon did a good job as that. And Kyle Freeland is certainly there. But what everyday player is that guy? Ezekiel Tovar, sure. He's going to have to do probably a lot more heavy lifting over these final 2 months. But do the Rockies need more than that, than just Ezekiel Tovar? You can hope that Brenton Doyle is going to step back up. But if you're looking for those marquee names and faces,
With fall in full swing, more moments call for more comfort. Mack Weldon's got all the essentials for comfortable, easy-to-layer clothes designed for cooler days and timeless style you can count on. Their new Ace line, inspired by their best-selling sweatpants, combines everyday comfort with long-lasting and effortless looks. Not flashy, just classic, always in style, and made from the world's most comfortable performance materials. Fall into comfort with Mack Weldon's Ace collection. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MACK25.
It's Ezekiel Tovar and Kyle Freeland right now. That's it. So Bo Bichette, from that standpoint, might make a little bit of sense. Could be kind of interesting to see what happens with that. Also with this Blue Jays series, got to keep an eye on the bullpen because the Rockies bullpen suffering. And now with Halverson being out, bad, 46 of 93 earned runs allowed by Colorado in those first 14 games post All-Star break have been allowed by that bullpen. Relievers allowing one run in 13 of those 14 games, 7.26 ERA to start the second half, trailing only Atlanta's 8.83 ERA, and they're walking a ton of batters. I mean, on Sunday, Angel Chivillé, he hit the first two batters that he faced to start an inning. So not a walk, but you put guys on like that, it's going to come back to bite. It's going to come back to haunt in a really big way. So we'll see about Bo Bichette. We absolutely will see about that. Talked about Dugan Darnell. We can talk about maybe some more debuts because Warming Bernabéu became the 10th player to make his debut. Darnell, the 11th player to debut. Only the Marlins with 12 and the A's with 13 are in double digits with debuts. I think that number is going to get eclipsed. I've got 7 more potential debuts, although I think we're only going to end up seeing 3. Julio Carreras, who's in that Warming Bernabéu camp as still a somewhat young guy who's been around forever in this organization, that might be given an opportunity should there be another injury of some sort. He's out there. Kyle Karros, that could be a early to mid-September call-up. He's got to do his job in Albuquerque first. Sterling Thompson, I could see that. I got a long shot in Braden Ward. That could be one. On the pitching side, Gabriel Hughes, definitely, as long as he's healthy. And then 2 long shots. I mean, Connor Van Skoyak wouldn't be more if they needed another reliever. But Mason Albright, despite the fact he has an ERA north of 6 right now, I see some upside from that lefty, and I could see him possibly making his debut. That's 7 guys. Ryan Feltner, will we see him back? Not sure, because he's on the AAA injured list with right shoulder inflammation. He's been 0-3 with an 8.57 ERA at Albuquerque. Let's not forget that last September, he was great. In fact, his final 15 starts last year was great. 2.98 ERA with a 2.27 batting average against in those final 15 starts. In September, fantastic, 1.78 ERA, held Shohei Ohtani hitless on the final day of the regular season, preventing him from that NL batting title and that triple crown. Also want to point out 36 trades on Thursday at the deadline. And from my spreadsheet a few years ago that I made, I tried to break down every trade deadline move for the Rockies from June to August, because in August you could still make trades. It was a waiver deadline trades. And I created 3 categories: trades that were of subtraction, like in 2003, Colorado deals Tony Womack to the Cubs for a minor leaguer that was in Double A. He'd play one more year at Tulsa, one more year of organized ball, and so he would never even debut. Emmanuel Ramirez didn't make it to the majors. You have trades of addition, like in 2018, when they added Sung Hwan Oh from Toronto for 3 prospects. Colorado was in the hunt for the postseason, and they would find it with Oh in their bullpen. And then deals that were kind of nothing. They were deals that it was basically your player for my player of similar value. Maybe one team was getting a little bit something better. Maybe the Rockies were taking back a less talented player for a better player, but that player was getting a little bit more money. You know, I don't know all of the trades ins and out like that. So I would just classify those as kind of nothing. Like 2013, Eric Young Jr. for Colin McHugh. Was that subtraction? Was that addition? Or was that somewhere in the middle? How about your pitcher? Or rather, that was a pitcher for a speedster deal. But 2005, you want to go Larry Bigby for Eric Burns? Outfielder for outfielder? What was that one really about? Kind of, again, talent for talent. So it was nothing. And that's something you can check out over on the Rockies Insider newsletter, breaking down some of those greats of the trade deadline deals. I think I even talked about it on Saturday's podcast, some of those deals. Rockies have not traditionally made a lot of those deals. I think it's since 2002 to 2021, they made about seven of those subtraction trades of waving the white flag when they should have probably waved the white flag a lot more and with a lot more trades on top of that. On Sunday, Rockies added first baseman Blaine Crim from the Rangers. He was selected off waivers and optioned to AAA. Now, this corresponds with Michael Tolia being optioned to AAA. And at a time which Warren Burnabelt is there at first base, you do have Warren Schaefer saying, Tolia's just got to hit. He's going to play every day, but he's got to hit. He's got to do certain things. And I don't know now if this is really the end, maybe not literally, of Michael Tolia with the Rockies, but the fact that he does get sent down, Warming Burnabelt, now that starting first baseman. And the Rockies also bring in another player on the 40-man roster that is essentially first base only, in a Blaine Crim. 284 batting average for the 28-year-old, 888 OPS, 18 home runs, 71 RBI with Round Rock. He did make his debut with Texas this year, only played in about five games, wasn't a very high round draft pick with them, was taken in the 19th round in 2019. So Blaine Crim is giving you some good depth as a guy I don't think was ever a top 30 prospect for the Rangers. Now maybe he's standing in the way of Michael Tolia. Is that him sending Tolia a message that he needs to do more? I think so. And Tolia does need to do more if he is going to be an everyday big leaguer. Wrapping up those transactions from Sunday, if you didn't hear about it, Tolia to AAA, Halverson on the IL with that right elbow strain. And then up, we saw one of them on Sunday, Nick Anderson, the reliever, and catcher Braxton Fulford. Shameless plug, new article over at Just Baseball. It's the Chatter's Box with Kyle Freeland talking about his gutsy start in Cleveland and setting an example for those younger players of how you need to grind it out and just the youth movement in general. Think about this. Since the start of the 2021 season, you have only two players that, no, correction. Since the start of the 2021 season, Kyle Freeland is the only one on the active roster, right? You have Austin Gomber's been on the team since the start of 2021. And then you've got Ezekiel Tovar late in 2022 in September. Those are the only three guys that have been on this active roster right now and have been on the roster previously before 2023. I know I didn't phrase that very well. So I was editing myself in my head. Wait a minute, did I forget something? But yeah, that's it. You have three guys that have been around before 2023 right now, today, on the active roster. At Patrick D. Lyons, at Patrick D. Lyons, MLB, and the Rockies Insider over on YouTube. Like, share, subscribe. That kind of momentum, unfortunately, can only be as good as my next show. So, of course, I'll talk to you then.